May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the gospel reading. You may be seated. Dear saints, John the Baptist says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. We live in an age of high-tech gadgets. I don't need to tell you that. We're always being told to purchase the latest and greatest. We need the state-of-the-art doohickey or thingamajig. The current version of the internet with social media and the ability for every Tom, Dick, and Harry to voice their opinion is called Web 2.0. And we're waiting for Web 3.0. I wonder what horrors that will bring. Our phones update themselves with the newest software and apps. It's almost impossible to pay a bill anymore without the internet or without an app on your phone. It is crazy. And there is this tendency, I think, that we need to do the same with our religion. We need Church 2.0. We need state-of-the-art worship services. The old texts and patterns handed down for generations, well, they just don't work anymore. People have changed, so we need to change with them. The old social norms are outdated, and we need to embrace this lifestyle choice or that way of thinking so the church can stay relevant. And then we read something like today's gospel reading, and somehow everything is thrown back into perspective. The appearance of this crazy prophet out in the wilderness and his words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. It's an ancient message. It's as old as the fall into sin. It is something we don't always like to do. And it has always been that way. Confessing to someone that you have wronged them is difficult. It is demeaning. Admitting that you are in the wrong is almost more painful than being the one who was wronged. Confessing your sin to God can be terrifying, and confessing your sin to a pastor in private may be even more so. Matthew tells us the reason for repentance when he quotes Isaiah. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Apparently, repentance has something to do with meeting the Lord, with welcoming the Lord, with giving him a straight path to us. Now, in Advent, we are particularly mindful of two times when we meet the Lord, the first at Christmas, and the second when he returns in glory. But there are other times when we meet the Lord. Here this morning from the altar, you will meet with him. Upon your death, you will see the Lord face to face. And repentance is the way to prepare for all of these meetings. Why? Because we are by nature sinful, and God is not. He is holy. You have been washed clean in your baptism. And confessing your sin and receiving absolution is the continuation of that promise. There is nothing new here. To meet the Lord, we confess our sins and receive forgiveness. Now, while John is out baptizing and preaching his message of repentance, some Pharisees and Sadducees show up, presumably to see what all the fuss is about. Commentators differ on why they were there. Some think that they wanted to receive John's baptism, maybe just to show their unity with the people. Others think they were there just to look down their noses at all these peons, for the Pharisees and Sadducees certainly didn't need to repent. But whatever the case, they do not experience a warm welcome from John. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? If you showed up to church on Sunday morning and I greeted you with that greeting, You would probably turn around and walk out, as well you should, for I trust that you are here for the right reasons. The Pharisees and Sadducees were not out to see John for the right reasons, and John calls them out. Then John tells them something that sounds a bit strange to our Lutheran ears. He says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. This biblical metaphor, this idea of bearing fruit, is common. Even later in the gospel reading, John mentions bearing good fruit. Jesus says in another place, every good tree bears good fruit, a bad tree bears bad fruit, and by their fruits you will know them. Fruit trees bear fruit. That is the nature. An apple tree bears apples. A peach tree bears peaches. If the tree is healthy, well watered, well nourished, it will bear good and abundant fruit. If the weather is favorable, you expect to see fruit in due season. If the tree is diseased or not properly cared for or not enough water, it will bear bad, rotten, or even possibly no fruit. Thus, the Christian life is characterized by fruit bearing, by bearing the fruits of the Spirit, as St. Paul calls them. Our fruit is simply the good works that we do, and the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, etc. But what is somewhat striking is that John commands these hypocritical church leaders to bear fruit. I don't know if you ever talk to your house plants or you talk to your garden. I tried talking to my tomato plants last year. Bear fruit, give me some tomatoes. I also get a little snippy with our chickens when they don't lay eggs. I threaten them with being turned into chicken pie. But it turns out that such tirades really don't help grow tomatoes or for chickens to bear eggs. People can't talk to plants or chickens to make them bear fruit. So why does John tell the Pharisees to bear fruit in keeping with repentance? They are already there, coming to John's baptism, a baptism of repentance, but their lives don't look right. Their lives do not reflect the repentance they claim to have. Their lives are not bearing fruit. The Pharisees and the Sadducees assumed that their important position was enough to make them right with God. At times, we read in the Old Testament, the people would go to the temple or the tabernacle and offer their offerings, but their lives, well, the rest of the time, they lived like the pagans around them. Their repentance was a fraud. Their heart wasn't in it. It is still the case in this country that a majority of the people, when asked what their religion is, will say Christian. Many churches throughout our land keep membership rolls, and no doubt all those listed on those rolls would say the same thing: they are Christians. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had no doubt that they were counted righteous in God's sight. After all, they were descendants of Abraham, God's holy and chosen people. Likewise, some in our day think that, well, my ancestors were Christians, so I'm a Christian. Since their name is on a membership list somewhere, or maybe was at one time, they're good. And they may be Christian, but not for those reasons. We must not be complacent in regards to our faith. It must be nurtured and watered so it can grow and bear the fruits of repentance, while at the same time we recognize that it is not the fruit of repentance that saves us, but the fruits show evidence that we have faith in the one and only begotten Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. But the question remains, where does the fruit come from? Good fruits come from good trees. Spiritually good fruits result from repentance and faith in Jesus. We cannot be right with God according to our own sinful nature, by our own reason or strength. We are not right with God based on our family tree or our name in a book somewhere. Paul says in our epistle lesson, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." It is God who fills us with joy and peace in believing. It is God who makes us good fruit-bearing trees. By the power of God's Spirit at work in you through his word, you abound in hope and in love and in peace. Those who have faith in Jesus are at peace with God. They will bear fruit. That is simply the nature of a good tree. The command, bear fruit, then, is for us a plea to return again and again to the source of our fruitfulness, namely the gospel promises of Jesus, to abide in them. God makes our hearts contrite over sin. God works repentance in us. God forgives our sin. God causes us to trust the promises of Jesus, his death on our behalf, his resurrection that becomes our resurrection, remembering God's great love for us in that he did not spare his only son, but gave him up as a sacrifice on the cross. God comes to us today in his word, in the sacrament of the altar. He comes to kindle and strengthen faith, and from these things come the fruit, keeping with repentance. You are those who have been baptized by the Holy Spirit and with fire, as John declares. By virtue of your baptism, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. His word is a fire in you, consuming the chaff, burning away all those things that hinder us, that keep our eyes off of Jesus. The fire of the Holy Spirit refines you like gold, so that the new nature that is yours in Christ Jesus may shine forth. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And what about those times when you look at yourself in the mirror of God's law, and you realize that maybe the fruit has been a bit rotten lately, or you realize your life doesn't seem to be in harmony with your confession? What do you do? Repent. Repent and be assured of the forgiveness that you have in Christ. Repent and receive the absolution. Come to be where Jesus is. Hear again how he has forgiven your sin. Pray. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Remember that you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The way of the Lord is prepared, not with holiday decorations or gift giving, not with high-tech Christmas pageantry. We don't need state-of-the-art religion or Christianity 2.0. We need Jesus. Jesus who forgives. Jesus who causes us to live lives bearing fruit in keeping with repentance. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.